For WKU Public Radio, I'm Joe Corcoran. As the American people watch developments in this year's presidential election, it's a good time to think back to another pivotal election that occurred 100 years ago. The dean of the WKU Potter College of Arts and Letters, Dr. David Lee, has been taking a fresh look at the election of 1912. Dan Modlin has his talk with him.
David, you're talking today about a very interesting election from America's past. 1912 was an eventful year in a lot of ways, but I think a lot of us, as we follow the elections of this year, might find some interesting lessons from 1912.
1912 was a very interesting year in the history of American presidency, the American presidential elections. Three people ran for the presidency that year, all of whom won presidential elections at one time or another. Theodore Roosevelt, William Howard Taft, and Woodrow Wilson, taken collectively, they served as president for 20 consecutive years. All three of them ran against each other in that year. One of the things that intrigues me, particularly in the last few days, as we've been watching first the Republican and now the Democratic conventions today are so scripted, and they are oriented to external audiences, and they are essentially television shows, and they're very tightly controlled things. The conventions in 1912 were very different. The Republican convention, although it nominated Taft on the first ballot, split, and the Progressive Party, or the Bull Moose Party, broke away from it and had another tumultuous convention a few weeks later and nominated Theodore Roosevelt for the presidency. The Democratic convention went for 46 ballots before it nominated Woodrow Wilson. Only one convention has ever gone longer than that. In some ways, 1912 was a very different kind of experience from what we have now in presidential elections.
Put us back in those days and help us understand what exactly was unfolding here. Why did Theodore Roosevelt decide to run against his own former party and form the Bull Moose Party?
Roosevelt became president when William McKinley was assassinated in September of 1901. So he served most of that term, and then he ran and was elected to a term in his own right. In those days, the two-term tradition prevailed, and since Roosevelt had served most of two terms, he rather hastily said that he would not run again in 1908. I'm sure he almost immediately regretted that, but Taft had been a major figure in the Roosevelt administration, particularly as Secretary of War, but he'd held other roles as well, and Roosevelt anointed him as his successor, and Taft was elected in 1908. Roosevelt promptly went on safari to Africa. He was gone for several months. He shot something like 11,000 animals while he was there. But Taft, for all his administrative skills and judicial skills, was not a particularly skillful politician. His policies seemed to go against some things that Roosevelt had thought were important. And when Roosevelt reemerged from the African jungles, he and Taft broke almost immediately. And that's what prompted Roosevelt to run against Taft for the Republican nomination in 1912.
Now, you mentioned earlier that Woodrow Wilson was nominated on the 46th ballot.
The 46th ballot.
Talk a little bit about that. Was Woodrow Wilson a relatively unknown candidate when the Democrats met for the 1912 convention?
Wilson had a meteoric rise in presidential politics. He'd been a faculty member at Princeton for a long time. He'd been president of Princeton, gotten into a dispute with the graduate dean and left Princeton. He was elected governor of New Jersey in 1910, but he'd only been in that role for about 18 months when the Democrats nominated him for the presidency. So from his first elective office to being a candidate for president was barely a year and a half in Wilson's career.
Now, some have suggested that William Jennings Bryan played a key part in helping Wilson finally get that nomination. Do you agree that that was a pivotal point?
Bryan certainly played a role in that. Bryan was a three-time nominee and a three-time loser for the Democratic Party. But in 1912, the Democrats still had the two-thirds rule, that to be nominated, you had to get two-thirds of the delegates at the convention. Other candidates got over 50%, but they couldn't get to two-thirds. The party was wearing itself out in a year in which it had a great chance to win because the Republicans had split. And Bryan ultimately was a factor in moving the Democratic convention in the direction of Wilson. And part of Bryan's reward for that was Wilson named him Secretary of State.
Now, we haven't talked too much about a fourth candidate, but Eugene V. Debs was also in the mix here, wasn't he? 1912?
Debs was a very significant presence in the 1912 campaign. He got 6% of the vote. I think it's the largest percentage that a fourth party candidate has ever gotten. And remember, too, that he got 6% of the vote running against three guys who at one time or another in their career won presidential elections. So his appeal was significant. He was a socialist candidate. This was a time when the socialist movement was particularly strong in the United States, and socialist candidates were being elected mayor and members of general assemblies all across the country, oftentimes in places you wouldn't expect socialists to have quite that much support. But Debs was an effective candidate and made a significant showing in the election, even against three very well-established candidates.
In the context of today's times, a four-way race seems like it must have been rather confusing.
It was a much more confined process. Now presidential elections take years to play out. In those days, they took several months to play out, and correspondingly, they were much, much less expensive.
This was a very interesting year outside politics as well. Tell us about a few of the other things that happened in 1912.
1912 is probably remembered by most folks as the year the Titanic sank in April of 1912. A few days after that, another significant milestone for baseball fans, Fenway Park in Boston opened. And, of course, Fenway is still a baseball icon. Here in Bowling Green, it was also a significant year, I think, in many ways. 1911-1912 was Western Kentucky State Normal School's first full academic year on the Hill. The normal school had moved up from downtown in 1911, and so 1911-1912 was the first academic year spent on College Heights. There were a number of construction projects underway, buildings that are still very much landmarks around here. The Episcopal Church was under construction right across the street. Westminster Presbyterians were building a church up around the corner. The St. James Apartments were under construction, probably the first real apartment building in Bowling Green. And what we now call the Natcher Building, Federal Post Office and Courthouse were under construction, all still significant landmarks in Bowling Green. And all a kind of a message that Bowling Green was moving out from the downtown area and reaching out with different kinds of buildings further from the downtown area.
It's interesting to think back. This was obviously 100 years ago, and all the discussion we've heard in our lives about third parties and perhaps independent candidacies, was this kind of the high water mark for independent candidates?
I think it certainly is for third-party candidates. It's the most recent time that a third-party candidate outdrew either the Republicans or the Democrats. Wilson only got about 42% of the vote and won with that. Theodore Roosevelt got 27%. Taft, a sitting president, only got 23%. So the Progressive Party, the third-party candidate, got more support than the Republican Party. And as I say, that's the most recent time that that's happened. It hasn't happened again in the last 100 years.
Well, it's certainly a very interesting subject, and we appreciate your coming in to bring us up to date on it. Dr. David Lee, thank you very much for being with us today.
My pleasure. Thank you, Dan.
Dr. David Lee is the Dean of the Potter College of Arts and Letters at WKU. We've been talking about the election of 1912. For WKU Public Radio, this is Dan Modlin.